We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
In John chapter 6 and verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, now this is the words that Jesus spoke, I am the bread of life, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But listen to this sad statement, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do thy own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that which he has given me, I should lose nothing. Now look at that. But shall raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last days. The Jews then murmured and said, because he saith, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Now, I want to I just backed up there and started where Jesus responded there to the Jews. But I mainly want to use verse 37 down through verse 40. If I could take a text this morning, my text would be the invitation of confidence. The invitation of confidence here. Now these, what I just read here this morning, and all of you Bible students know this, that this is one of the most profound passages in all the Bible. And so these verses contain truths that will never, I guess, be fully comprehended by the minds of men until we stand complete in his image whenever he comes for us. And so in these four verses right here, verse 37 through verse 40, there's, if I counted correctly, there's 110 words in those four verses, and out of those, there's 90 of those words that just has one syllable, and there are 11 of those words that just has two syllables, and then there's one a word in those four verses that has three syllables. And what am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say that Jesus uses the simplest language, the simplest language as could be used, that possibly could be used, but he uses that to teach us a truth that is so deep that no man that has ever lived can comprehend it completely. And that is amazing. That Jesus spoke in such simplicity, but he shared such profound truth here. And it's that truth right here, so simple that even small children can grasp the heart of it. And so that is the main thing, that we do grasp the heart of what Jesus was saying to us. In these verses, we find yet another invitation from our Lord. And it's an invitation here to inspire confidence. And I think that's something that is needed in the children of God, is to have confidence. And so to have, if you want to say faith, that's it doesn't matter there. But these words right here speaks of the confidence confidence that rested here within the heart of the Savior as he looked toward Calvary as he was going there. And these words also are the words that speaks of the confidence that sinners can have as they see the horror of that place called hell, and they understand the penalty of their sins. I'm glad when I realized I was a sinner and headed for hell, I was glad that I realized that I knew that Jesus would save whosoever will, that they could be saved and escape that horrible place, and that gave me confidence that I don't have to go there. And also, so these words speaks of the confidence that can be possessed by the children of God as we make our journey through that place called heaven. And that's what we are. We're on a journey here this morning. We're pilgrims and strangers passing through. So here is the invitation of confidence. And we want to just share a few things out of that here this morning. And consider the blessings that our Savior embedded in these words right here that he spoke to the Jews there on that day. And the first thing I want you to see in the first part of verse 37, I want you to see the Savior's gift. Now look at this right. Jesus has just described or declared here his identity to the Jews. He has just told them who he was. He has declared himself there in verse 35 that he is the bread of life that has come down from heaven. And then we see right here very clearly that anyone who will receive him will never hunger or thirst again. That's what he's saying. Whosoever shall eat of the bread of life shall never hunger or thirst again. I'm glad to say you, since I ate of the bread of life, I've never hungered or thirsted for the things of this world again. I'm eating from a better table this morning, aren't you? I'm drinking from a better well this morning than I was before I got saved. So Jesus said right there that we would never hunger or we would never thirst again. Then in verse 36 here, Jesus makes a very sad statement. And that sad statement brings here a sharp focus to the fact that the Jews here had rejected Jesus as their Messiah. Because it says, ye also have seen me and believe not. You've seen me. You've looked upon me. You've heard about all the works and saw the all the miracles that we performed, but yet you believe not. On one occasion, Jesus said this right here. He came unto his own, which was the Jews, and they received him not. Now, some people might have seen the rejection of Jesus by the Jews, and they might take that as an indication that the ministry of Jesus was a failure. But I want you to understand this morning very very simply this morning is that the ministry of Jesus here upon this earth was far from being a failure, even though the Jews, the one that he came to, turned a deaf ear to his preaching. Listen, if anyone thought his ministry of Jesus was a failure, then they're missing the big picture. They're missing what he really came for. So the first part of verse 37 tells us about the Father's gift to the Son. Now the gift is given to Jesus. Now think about this. The gift is given to Jesus as his reward for all those he suffered, for all of that he suffered here on earth. It's a gift from the Father that he gave to the Son for all the suffering that he did while he was here upon this earth. Now this gift is the proof and the promise that his mission here upon this world was not in vain. This gift, though hard to comprehend for us mortals that are sitting here this morning, is a greater blessing than we could ever imagine. And so let's look here just for a moment. Let's look at the character of this gift. All that the Father giveth me. Now look at that. All that the Father giveth me. The character of this gift is seen in the word all. Now that word all there it encompasses within it every sinner who will ever be saved. From the little Sunday school girl, the little girl in Sunday school that is so innocent and so pure, and then she's there and she receives the Lord Jesus Christ, to that it also not only includes her, but it includes that brazen streetwalker saved from a life of debauchery. And not only that, but that word there speaks of that small boy who places his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ at a very young age and is saved. It also encompasses the drunk who has lived his life in a drunken stupor. That word speaks of all of those who will ever place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. That's who that gift is. It encompasses all sinners who will come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. If you're saved, or if you ever will be saved, you are God's gift to His Son. You're God's love gift to Jesus for coming into this world and dying on the cross. From my perspective, now this is just from my perspective. You may have a higher thoughts of yourself than maybe I have of myself. But it doesn't seem like that Jesus is getting much of a gift. Because I know what I was when the Lord found me. And I don't want to offend you, but I dare to say that you wasn't much better than I was. Amen. When the Lord found you. And so we just look at this with that band. That's not much of a gift. But look what the Bible says about those that were not saved. It says none righteous. It says the mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. It says that that people that are unsaved, their feet are swift to shed blood. No fear of God before their eyes. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. So when we look at this, I see here, so God gave us to Jesus, and He died for us on the cross. It sounds like Jesus came out on the short end of the stick, but that's just exactly what Jesus wanted. And so you see the character of this gift. It's you and I that are saved, and everyone that will ever be saved hereafter. It's God's gift to His Son for coming and dying and suffering here on this earth and dying on the cross. And look here at the contributor of this gift, the Father giveth me. I've already made mention of this, but God is the one who is behind the gift, the Father. Now yet the entire Trinity, as we know, is involved here in this great gift of salvation. The Father, the Bible tells us, gave us to His Son in eternity past, Ephesians 1:4. Jesus died for us when He went to the cross. The Holy Spirit drew us to Jesus. You cannot be saved unless the Holy Spirit draws you. You can't just come anytime that you want to come. The Holy Spirit has to draw a sinner to Jesus. And so here I believe the Word of God is very clear on this matter of salvation. No one simply chooses to be saved. The Bible says they're chosen. Now, what I'm saying is, they can't be a sinner and just walk into this church and say, well, today is the day I believe I'm going to get saved, and walk down here to this altar and get saved. He must be drawn by the Spirit. He must be convicted. And so no one just comes to Jesus Christ on their own free will. The sinner's will is fallen. And the sinner's will is incapable of coming to Jesus on his own. The sinner cannot respond to Jesus unless Jesus first comes to the sinner. Now listen to what this preacher is saying to you here this morning. In other words, the sinner cannot respond to Jesus unless Jesus comes to him. When you got saved, you weren't looking for Jesus. Jesus was looking for you. You were looking for something to fill that void that was in your life, that you were empty and you were miserable and your life wasn't complete or full. But you didn't know what it was. That's why some people turn to alcohol. That's why some people turn to drugs. That's why some people turn to sex. That's why some people turn to everything is. They're looking for something. But do you remember that day that you were there, whether it was in church or whether it was by sitting on your couch or whether it was down by the barn feeding the cattle or whatever it was, that the Holy Spirit knocked on your heart's door and said, would you like to have peace? Amen. Would you like to know Jesus? Yes. And then you said yes. Yes. See, without that Holy Spirit, he came searching for you. He came looking for you. And when you responded to him, then you were saved. But left to himself, the lost sinner will always seek the things of this world and the flesh. If without the intervention of the Holy Spirit, the lost person will continually seek the things that the flesh wants, will continually seek the things that the world offers to him. And like it or not, the lost sinner is dead in his trespasses and sins. Is that not right? If you're unsaved, you're dead in your trespasses and sin, the Bible says, and therefore you cannot come to God. A dead person cannot respond. And so in this thing called salvation, God must make the first step. He must call us to Jesus through the Holy Spirit that we might be saved. Now I want you to see the consequences of this sin. All shall come to me. Now the work that God began in eternity past. Now this is yet he carried out here in his time. Now this is what I was talking about is so profound. And there have been so much discussion over the years. There have been so much division over the years over it. So, and I want to say my mind cannot comprehend. I don't know whether any mortal mind, even the great preacher, the prince of preachers, Spurgeon, didn't understand it. And so we see here, and you say, what are you talking about? The person, the Bible says right here, Jesus said, that's given to the Son, will be saved by the grace of God. According to that verse, all shall come. I came to him. And you came to him because he first came to you. You didn't just come on your own, but he came to you. And when he came to you, then you came to him. That's how salvation works. That's the only way that it can work. And so when we speak of these matters, we've stepped out in some deep waters. And so we're treading in waters that the greatest human minds have not been able to fathom. We're discussing concepts so difficult to understand that few can understand accurately with full understanding. And we're talking about this matter of election and human responsibility. God chose us to be saved, but still the human has a responsibility to respond. The human still has to respond. And that is deep stuff. That is stuff that is hard for me to understand. Because there is no doubt that salvation is based on God's choice. Salvation, is a matter of grace that he saves whosoever he will. Now, I want you to know there's no denying the fact that man is responsible to believe in Jesus and to receive him as their Savior. Do you believe that today? Amen. That man is responsible. God knocks on your heart's door, you've got to respond. You've got to come to him. Yeah, that's human responsibility. God just don't reach out of heaven and say, I'm going to save William, I'm going to save this and that, and without any responsibility to their part. He says, they're not saved because they will not come to me. And so, here's the truth. Is that anyone who is saved It's all because of God's grace. If you're here this morning, you're saved. It's by the grace of God. And everybody that's ever got saved has got saved the same way, through the marvelous, wonderful, amazing grace of God. That's why that when we get to heaven, none of us going to have anything to boast in ourselves. All we can do is throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus and say, all because of Him and what He did on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Is that I'm here, I'm saved. Grace, didn't deserve it. We couldn't have earned it. Every one of us sitting here this morning, every person that's ever been born on this earth was born from the Adamic nature, the sin nature. We deserve to be in hell. But because of the grace of God, He reached out to us and knocked on our heart's door and said, don't you want life? Don't you want freedom? Don't you want that? And so He says right here that He cried that whosoever will may come. Anyone that will come to Jesus will be saved. And those who will not come to Jesus will never be saved. And could I say, those that won't come to Jesus and be saved, that when they open their eyes up in hell, they're not going to have no one to blame but themselves. Can't point their finger at the preacher, can't point their finger at the church, can't point their finger at that backslidden Christian or that hypocrite in church that they used as an excuse for not being saved. They can't blame him when they get to heaven, or when they get that awful place called hell. They'll just have to say, it's all my fault because I refused to come to Jesus. I refused when he knocked on my heart's door. I refuse to accept the responsibility that I needed to come. Everyone that Jesus saved while he was here upon the earth, he called them publicly. He said, come unto me. Come. Come. And so, listen. I want you to see here, we're talking about these things that we're talking about this morning. And there's a verse here that's bringing me with confidence. And it looked from a human perspective, like the ministry of Jesus was a failure. The Jews rejected him. He came, and they thought their king was coming. And when he got here, he wasn't what they expected. He didn't come in a manner that they supposed he was. And they rejected him. And you want to, and they looks like that, and they crucified him on the cross of Calvary. To them, it looked like his ministry was in vain. That it was a failure. But Jesus knew, however, that God had given him many sheep. And because of that, he could face the rejection. And on that cross to die, knowing that his death would not be in vain, but that he would actually save everyone that the Father gave to him by going to the cross. And so I want you to see in the last part of verse 37, I want you to see the Savior's grace. Jesus had confidence because of the Father's gift. Boy, that blesses me when I feel like, man, I don't think very highly of myself as a person in myself. But then when I think about me in Christ, and I'm in Him, and therefore when I'm in Him, then I'm somebody. I'm somebody special. And I'm so special that God considered us so precious that He gave us as a gift to His Son for what He did for us on the cross. Don't you ever let the unbelievers and the mockers and the infidels talk down to you. Be proud of who you are. Be proud that you're a child of God. And that you have eternal life here this morning. He knew that his death would accomplish salvation. And so, but sinners also had confidence in this thing called salvation because they realized, yes, I'm under judgment. Yes, if I die in my sins, I'll be lost forever. But they got confidence that through Jesus Christ and Him alone, they can be saved. I was walking down through one of the buildings in there last night, and I appreciate this, I really do. There's several churches that's got booths set up in there sharing the plan of salvation, sharing gospel tracts, and got somebody there to talk with people, and that's wonderful to see in our county. And I was walking down through there, saintering around, had never been out in public before. And this woman says, let me ask you a question. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, are you saved? I said, yes, ma'am, I'm saved. She said, what are you basing that on? It's a good question. I think a lot of people says they're saved and they don't know what they're basing it on. Well, I went to church with Mama when she took me. Well, we do this, we do that. I said to this lady, I said, I'm basing my salvation, my assurance, my security on what Jesus Christ done on the cross of Calvary. I accept why His death on the cross of Calvary for the payment of my sins. And in Him and Him alone do I have confidence that I'll go into heaven. Nothing that I can do. But because I received by faith what He did on the cross for the salvation of my soul, I can stand here before you and look you in the eye and say, yes, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. She said, well, thank you, sir. And I'm glad there's people in there trying to get people to understand. And this is what me and Wayne was talking about. And this is something that's come up with another preacher or two I've been talking to. Is about so many people in churches today don't know the truth. They don't have the truth to build their lives on. They're coming to church looking for the truth. And we're giving them everything but the truth. And they're going off into secular colleges, and they're answering their questions, but they're not answering their question with truth, but with fallacy and all those kind of things. And those young people are accepting it because they never got the truth in church. Listen, you're going to see a change in me, and I hope it's going to start coming here in a little while. We're going to make sure that people understand some biblical doctrine about who they are, where they came from, how to get where they're going, and some of the things like that. Now listen, people, too much of this, asking people if they're saved, and they say, I hope so. I'm doing the best I can. Now listen, what this says. He said, he that cometh to me, it's essential. The way of salvation, being saved, is not join a church. Being saved is not being baptized. Being saved is not start doing better. Being a better person. Or stop sinning. Being saved is coming to a person. Being saved is about coming to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at UnionTempleFWB.org.